Okay, so let's at least try to get through some of the Gemara here. I'm at the beginning of the sixth Perek. We're going to tackle some of the issues that come up, but we need to at least get a grounding in the in these issues. So as we've started talking about some of the broader issues, and we'd skip to Samachay to talk about the dating of the Karban Omer. But the Mishnah, the Perek starts off with some of the details of how they would bring it, how they would cut it, and the like. So the Mishnah starts off, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Omer hayaba b'shabbat mishalosh sain uvechol mechamesh. So the way you would make, right, obviously this is a mincha, it's a flour offering. So therefore, you would cut down the grain, and then when you cut down the grain, so as we know from the bread making process, and this is reflected in the Melachot and Shabbat, so you purify it, right? You go through the grain, you sift it to get the to get the best grains and make the best flour. So the question is, how many sa'ah would you go through? Would you sift through to get the best grain, the best flour that you could for the omer? So Rabbi Yishmael distinguishes between Shabbat, in a case in which the 16th of Nisan is on Shabbat. Now, what you have to get, remember, the amount is an isaron, right, which is a tenth of an ephah. So he said that on Shabbat, we would get that from three sa'am of barley. And during the week, if it were not Shabbat, so then you would get it from five. So on Shabbat, you were less picky than you were during the week. Okay? Yeah, clear?
Because of Kavod Shabbat, you would think to do better for Shabbat.
Than No, but remember, this is melacha, right? You're violating melacha in order to sift the flour. So it's true that you're allowed to do it on Shabbat, but the question is, do you go above and beyond what is absolutely necessary on Shabbat for melacha purposes, right? For melacha purposes, because you're sifting, you're cutting, and the like. So if you can get away with doing it from three, so then should you do it from five? And we're going to see that this is going to be the machloket. Or some version of this, and that's what we're going to have to understand. The Chachamim Omrim, Echad Shabbat Ve'Echad Chol, Mishalosh Haya Ba. The Chachamim say that the Omer that you had on Shabbat and the Omer that you had during the week came from three. Right, from three Sa'a. Rav Chanina Skanakonim Omer, Bishabbat Niktar Biachit. Another distinction between Shabbat and the week is that on Shabbat, you would have an individual who would cut it, uvemagel achad, and he would use one scythe, uvekupa achad, and he would put all the grain in one box, bachol, but if it was a weekday, bishlosha, he would have three people cutting it, bishalosh kupot, in three separate boxes, bishalosh magalot, with three scythes, vachachamim amrim, achad Shabbat, achad chol, whether it was Shabbat or whether it was a weekday, bishlosha, it would be three people, bishalosh kupot, three boxes, bishalosh magalot, and three scythes. So we see that there are a machloket both in terms of how much grain you're using and sifting, and how many people are doing the cutting, the storing, and how many utensils you're using for cutting, whether there's a distinction between Shabbat and the week. Okay? Okay, we're clear so far?
On Shabbat, you do it not to your fullest extent.
So in each machloket, you have a position. Rabbi Shmuel in the case of the cutting, and I'm sorry, in the case of the sifting, and Rechanina Skanakonim in the case of the cutting, who says that you do Shabbat differently than the week, and the Chachamim who say that whatever you do during the week, you do on Shabbat. So we're going to have to analyze each machloket separately. So let's look at the Gemara, because we're going to start with the machloket of Ishmael and the Chachamim. So Rabbi Ishmael had said as follows. So the Gemara says, Bishlama Rabbanan, Kasavri Isaron Muchar, Bishalosh Zayin Atet, Vilosh Nabacho, Vilosh Nabishabat, Ela Rabbi Ishmael Maike Savar. He said, look, the fact that the Chachamim suffice with three during the week or on Shabbat, everyone agrees that you need fine flour to come from this barley. The fact that they think you only need three on Shabbat, three even on Chol, and you do the equivalent on Shabbat, clearly means that they think the quality that you can get from three sa'ah when you sift it is sufficient to get high quality flour to make this grain offering. And therefore, that's what you need during the week, and that's what you need on Shabbat. Ela Rabbi Ishmael Maike Savar. But what does Rabbi Ishmael hold, who says you do five during the week and three on Shabbat? Ike Savar Isaron Mucher Lo Ate El Mechamesh Afil B'Shabbat Nameh Ve'im Ishalosh Ate Afil B'Chol Nameh. He said, look, everyone agrees fundamentally that the quality needs to be top-notch for the Omer. And therefore, if he holds that in order to get high quality, you need five, right? You need to sift in Isaron from five sa'ah, so then there's no justification for doing any less than that in Shabbat, because the quality is going to be less than what is required. And if he thinks you can get it from three, so then why during the week do you use five, meaning Mamad Avshach? So the Gemara answers, Amar Rava, Kesavar Rabbi Ishmael, Isaron Muvchar Bilo Tircha Atay Michamesh, Betircha Atay Mishalosh. He says it's as follows. You could get the highest quality out of three, but in order to do that, you would have to keep sifting it, right? You have to do several rounds. It would take a lot of work to get enough fine grain out of three sa'ah, right? You have to keep sifting, kin sifting, and removing impurities, and removing impurities. As opposed to if you have five, so there's so much produce, you'll be able to get the requisite amount of high-quality grain with relatively little effort. And therefore he says, Bechol matin en mechamesh, dehachi shvicha milta. So during the week, we'll take it from five. And then you only need to take a little bit from each of it. Right? Basically, it's the best quality stuff comes out right away. And therefore, it'll be easy. But b'Shabbat, mutav sheyarbeh b'melacha achat b'harkada. It's better that you should violate one malacha over and over and over and over. Right? The sifting process. And here's the logic, okay? And this is what we have to analyze. He said, look, it's clear that you're going to have to violate malacha one way or the other, and that's permitted. But the difference is as follows. When you take three sa'ah, so you have to cut less, and gather less, and pile less, right? Each of which are malachot. The one malacha that you're going to have to do in excess is sifting. Because it's going to be harder to get good flour out of three sa'ahs. You're going to sift once and twice and three times, 100 times, I don't know how long it's going to take you, to get enough good flour for the mincha. But at least you're only doing the same melacha over and over and over again. But if you're going to get five sa'ah, so that means that you're not just increasing sifting, you're increasing cutting and harvesting and gathering and all that stuff. So yes, in the end of the day, you'll have to do less sifting to get good quality for the Omer, but you're going to have to violate all the other malacha over and over again to get those extra two sa'ah. And Rabbi Shmuel thinks it's better to force you to increase the sifting of the three sa'ah than to increase malacha overall to get all of the to get enough flour from five. Okay, you understand that? Yeah.
It's the idea is to get the same flour for five.
He said, "Look, right? you're going to need to do malacha one way or the other. Because every part of this is malacha. Cutting the grain is malacha. Gathering it and piling it and sifting it. All of that is malacha. But the question is as follows. The first three sa'ah, so you need to do the same amount of cutting and the same amount of gathering and all that stuff. But then to get enough flour, you're going to have to sift and sift and sift and sift and sift. So you're going to have to do multiple acts of sifting on that three to get the same amount of flour that you would have gotten with less sifting from five.
Okay, so that.
But to get five, right, to get that extra two sa'ah to do the easy sifting, you need to do more cutting and more gathering and more piling and all of that. So you need to do more of individual melachot. And Rabbi Shmuel thinks, I'd rather you repeat the sifting over and over, which is only one melacha, than to do extra cutting and extra gathering just to make sifting easier.
Okay?
So that is the position of Rabbi Ishmael. So what we need to try to understand is what is this machloket, Rabbi Ishmael and the Chachamim. Do you have the source sheet that I sent?
Yes.
I resent it on the WhatsApp group.
Oh.
You got it? I sent it today.
Yeah.
On the Migdal 5780.
Right, so the first time when you mentioned it, I had it. I opened it.
Okay. So before we look at the sources, what do you think? What might be the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim?
Is there the problem is melacha? So it could it be? Is the real issue the amount of melacha you do? If it's one thing, or could you say that different melacha then are? It was doing a melacha several times less than doing
good.
A different melacha, or
right?
Not
so
two melacha still equal to it.
Very good. So one possibility is to say that the machlokas here is about, Rabbi Shmuel's chiddush is that even if you have to do, let's say, 10 acts of melacha, it's better that you do 5 acts of the same melacha over and over again, rather than have to do, let's say, 3, 3, 3, whatever, you know what I mean. Meaning,
yeah.
If there's going to be 10 acts of melacha, it's still better to minimize the quantity of each given malacha and only increase the quantity of one malacha. It could be the Chachamim would say, Mapida. I don't understand. Why is that a benefit? Malacha is malacha is malacha. If I have to do 10 acts of malacha, who cares if it's multiple malacha or one malacha? Right? And why might that be? Right? Might that be? So it could be that Rabbi Shmuel clearly holds that which is quite a chiddush. Right, you would have thought that if I light one match and then I light another match and I light another match, so that's the same as lighting a match and cutting down a tree and separating, you know, b'isser. In the end of the day, I violated Shabbat 3 times. But Rabbi Shmuel clearly thinks it's not true. That it's worse to attack a new category of melacha than it is to do an act of melacha. And it could be the Chachamim would say, look, every act of melacha is an independent issur. I don't care what you call it. Right? What we're focusing on is how many times you violated Shabbat. And Rabbi Shmuel says, no, I care about how many categories of Shabbat were involved in this issur. And every category is a different quality type of violation of Shabbat. And therefore it would be worse if someone spent all day lighting matches, that's less of a violation of Shabbat than if he went through each melacha. Now, the truth is that when you look in the seventh paragraph of Shabbat, one of the questions you see there is to what extent are each melacha conceptually linked or not? Meaning, how do you look at it? Do you think that each melacha is a unique category or not? And the Gemara talks about it. And in some sense, right, there is a difference. So for example, if you violate one melacha and one toldah from one melacha, I'll put it differently. When you bishogeg, there clearly is a difference. Because if you violate the same act multiple times of the same melacha by accident, you only bring one korban. So that, on the one hand, is an indication that that it is less of an affront to Shabbat to violate the same melacha over and over, right? Because there is that notion. But on the other hand, I think this case is a little bit different. Why is this different? Because there, you could say, look, it's true that if I violate one malacha over and over by accident, all in one accident, so I only bring one karban, which again, might support Rabbi Shmuel's conception. But why might the Chachamim disagree?
Because they still find that it's the action itself, you're still repeating the action.
Right, exactly, and I put it a little bit differently, meaning here it's an intentional violation. It's a violation behet there. Right? Maybe you could argue that by an accident. So if I violated lighting a fire on Shabbat 10 times by accident, because I didn't know it was us to light a fire, so then I could say, look, I only hurt Shabbat, so to speak, in one way. But here I know exactly what I'm doing. It's just that it's mutter. Right? So maybe there's no difference. For one of two reasons, right? Either you'd say, look, once I'm intentionally violating, it's an equal violation of Shabbat. Or you could come at it differently and say, look, maybe it matters how many malachot I violate if I'm violating it be'isser, right? In a forbidden way. But maybe the Chachamim would say, look, when I'm doing it in a permitted way, who cares? In the end of the day, it's permitted. So how can you tell me it's permitted, but I should minimize the number of melachot? Why it's permitted? Which leads us to a possible another conceptual machloket, which is maybe there's a machloket that we find over and over in Shabbat when things are mutar, that are normally asur on Shabbat. The Gemara says that there are two ways of conceptualizing it. One is what we call hutra, which is that the melacha is completely sort of erased for now. It's completely mutar. The other is dichuya, that it's permitted, but the iser is only pushed to the side, but it still exists in theory. So it could be that Rishma and Chacham are arguing at this point, meaning if you think that the iser is completely gone, so then it doesn't matter how many malachot I do. But if you think that it's permitted, but the iser still exists, so then I should minimize how much malach I'm doing. Right, so that's another conception. Right, so one way of looking at it is that they're arguing about the connection between every act of melacha. The second way of looking at it is they're looking at the heter here. When I permit you to cut and prepare the omer on Shabbat, is that because Shabbat is completely waived and therefore I can do whatever I need to do? Or is it that it's here but held in abeyance, and therefore, I have to try to minimize it. Another possibility would be to say, look, it's clear that in order to get the good flour out of the sieve, I'm going to have to do a lot more work. So maybe they're machloket. Is it better to do malacha quickly, right, rather than have to like really struggle through malacha on Shabbat, which is a worse violation? Right, it could be that doing a bunch of malachot quickly and easily is a less of a violation, but having to struggle and sift and sift and sift, maybe that tircha, that effort, is a worse violation, and maybe that's what they're arguing about, right? Is it worse to have to put in extra effort, or is it worse to have to put in more numerical malachot, right? That would be a third conceptual model.
I know there was an issue in Moed Katan when we bring up working a field. If the issue is the field itself would make you work very hard, then you weren't allowed to do it.
Right, so maybe that's the machloket. Do you recognize that putting an extra effort is also problematic? Yet another machloket could be, this is less lumdish, but maybe the machloket is b'metziut. Meaning, maybe the chachamim just think that if you have three, you can get the best quality, right? Maybe it's just that the chachamim just think that maybe they agree conceptually with Rabbi Shmuel. They just don't agree on the metziut. They just think, look, I can get good quality grain out of three all the time. No problem whatsoever. And therefore, I don't have to get into this discussion, right? Meaning, so far we've suggested a few conceptual models. But maybe the Chachamim say, look, if it was true that it would take us more work to get good quality out of three than five, we would agree with you. But we just don't think that's true. Right? We just think that you can easily get good quality grain and grain and flour out of three. So I don't have to talk about this machlokes.
Well, then if it's about skill of different people, then it could become a case-by-case situation.
Right, maybe. But maybe they're just assessing that, look, on average, three is totally enough. So what are you getting into this machlokes? Right? So we've suggested like three, four models to explain machloket Rabbi Shmuel Nechachamim. Well, let's look through. I gave you just three mefarshim here: the Keren Ora, the Svat Emet, and the Mikdash David. And let's see which of these theoretical possibilities the mefarshim actually take. Okay, you know, one of the things you'll see is as we go through Kachin Sugya, you know, my Makaro sheets get much less overwhelming because there just aren't as many mefarshim. So it's a lot more like laying out the theoretical possibilities and then seeing the possibilities that the few mefarshim who actually talk about it take. Okay. So let's read through these three, and then we'll call it a day. So, the Keren Ora, number one, or number two, really, because number one was just the Gemara. Number two. So he says, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Hayabah B'Shabbat Mishal Sayin, Uvechol Mechamesh Vecham Omrim, etc. He said, Umaskinan, Rabbi Shmuel Svirolei, Yisaron Muvchar Belo Tircha, Ati Mechamesh Sayin. Right, so the Gemara had said that according to Rabbi Shmuel, it takes no effort to get good quality grain out of five sa'al, but with effort you could get it out of three. And therefore, and therefore on Shabbat you use three, during the week you use five, because it's better to violate one malacha over and over than multiple malachot. And the chachamim hold that during the week you also only know three. Umotzi mehem yisaron mufchar, and you can get good quality out of three.
In the Quran, I just say that if you do five on Shabbat,
because no. The chachamim say you only ever need three.
Oh.
So he said, first possibility is that they're just arguing about mitziyut. Namely, in Kain lo shamim eraman de pligi al Rabbi Shmuel b'svarato de mutav. Right, possibility one is that there is no conceptual machloket at all between Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim. They're arguing purely about mitziyut. Namely, is it really true that it's harder to get good quality grain out of five than out of three? Right? So possibility one is they're just not arguing. They agree. The Chachamim agree that if it would take more melacha to get it out of three than out of five, out of five than out of three, then indeed they would tell you, you're right. It would be better to make you do the same melacha over and over again. They just don't think that's true. They just think that three is always enough. End of story. He said the first possibility is that they're just arguing the mitziyot. There's no lamdish machloket at all. They just have a different assessment of the reality. Okay, that's possibility one. Yeah? Right, possibility one is that...
Between what? We said they're both okay with you three.
Meaning, no. It's that the Chachamim will think... Right, the Chachamim think you use three always, weekday and Shabbat.
Okay.
So it could just be that the argument is as follows. Everyone would agree that if it would minimize malacha, that it would be better to do the same malacha over, and during the week, it's better to do multiple malachot and not have to do a lot of sifting. It's just that the Chachamim don't even have to get into this machlokes, because they think that b'mitziyut, it's easy to get good quality grain from three sa'ah, and therefore, you do the same on the week and Shabbat, because that's just what you do, it's easy. And Rabbi Shmuel thinks that's not the case. Right? So the Karen Arbor said the first way of understanding this machlokes is completely mitziyut oriented. Right? Meaning everyone agrees conceptually what you are allowed to do. It's just that they argue about practically how much grain do you need in general to get the right quality. The Chachamim say it's always 3, and Rabbi Yishmael thinks, no, 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 it's better to get it from 5, but on Shabbat I minimize it with 3. But the Chachamim say, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't ever need 5. This is not a Shabbat question. It's a reality question. Yeah?
Okay, but can maybe, what does Mitzvah mean again?
To reality. Have, reality.
So the reality of it, that's why.
Right, meaning the first possibility is they're not arguing about halacha.
Why you're going
to. The Chachamim say you use 3 always because they think 3 is enough to get the best quality.
Right, and easy. The Rabbi Yishmael thinks it's different because the effort towards 3 to get the
quality. Exactly, and once Rabbi Yishmael thinks that you can get good quality from 3, but it's hard. But from 5 it's easy, so then he distinguishes between Shabbat and the weekday. But the Chachamim say, I don't have to get into this machloket. Meaning it could be that the Chachamim would say, if I agreed with your assessment of the reality, then I would come up with the same halachic compromise as Rabbi Yishmael. They just don't think that it's necessary, so they don't even bother talking about it.
Okay.
Right? But the Karen Aris continues and he says, Aval b'gemara lo mashmachi, but he said the simple understanding of Gemara is not this way. Because the Gemara on Samach Dalid sounds not this way, right? So this is what he says. He said, look, if I froze the Gemara where we did, then you could have concluded that this machloket was about mitziyut. But now if you look back at your Gemara, so now let's see why it's not so simple. Okay, so let's continue in the Gemara. So the Gemara had said, Amr Rabba, Rabbi Yishmael, V'Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher B'Yochan ben Broka, Amru Dever Echad. Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yishmael the son of Rabbi Yochan ben Broka, these are two different people, have similar conceptual positions. D'Tanya, because of the following Braisa, right? Arba Asar, the day of bringing the Karban Pesach, Shechalia B'Shabbat, right, if the day of bringing the Karban Pesach is on Shabbat, so mafshit era Pesach adechazeh, so you strip the Karban Pesach until the chest area. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, v'chachamim omrim ad sheyafshit et kulo. The Chachamim say that you strip the entire thing. And the Gemara says, Milo Amar Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Hatan, isn't the reason that when you have to bring the Karban Pesach on Shabbat, that the son of Yochanan ben Broka says that you don't strip the whole animal, you don't flay the whole animal, because Kol Hecha De'Afshar Lo Tarchinan, that whenever it's possible, you don't put in extra effort on Shabbat. Hachanami came into Efshar Lo Tarchinan. Since it's possible to get all the meat out without flaying the entire animal, so we encourage you not to do more melacha. So what do you see from this line? So what does the Karen Aris say? Let's pause there.
More amount of that same melacha does have an effect.
Right, meaning he says that if you froze the Gemara, if you had frozen the Gemara before this line, it would have said, you could have gone away with saying that this is a mitziyut machloket. Right? A machloket about the reality. But the problem is, the Gemara immediately goes into conceptual machlokot. So, right? Meaning, is it better to minimize the amount of work you put in violating malacha or not? So he says, once you see that the Gemara moves to conceptual machlokot, it doesn't seem like the simplest understanding is that the machloket Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim is about the mitziyut. So therefore, going back to the Karen Ora, he says, once you get into conceptual machloket, mashma dil rabbanan avdin and bishabat kemo b'chol, afal gavdi arbeh b'malachot. It sounds like the Chachamim's position is that once you're doing something beheter on Shabbat, you can do it however you do it during the week, and you don't have to worry about how you do it. V'tzarech lomar d'mashma le'ashas d'behal l'chud d'behal nami sagi b'shalosh lo shaycha plukta kolkach. And therefore the Gemara says, the fact that during the week you could have gone away with three is not really the issue. During the week, you don't have to worry about three, four, five. Ella, the real chiddush of the Chachamim is Ate Lashminan, the Shabbat V'chol Shavin Bazeh. The Gemara is coming to teach you the Chachamim's position that the week and Shabbat are the same. And if you needed five to get good quality, you would do it. And even to do the mitzvah the best way, it's allowed to increase malacha in Shabbat. And here, all the Karanora really does is that he tells you that the way the Gemara frames the machloket, namely as being conceptual, tells you that the one thing we can derive is that it's not a mitziut machloket, right? It's not a dispute about the best way to get good flour. It's a conceptual machloket. But he doesn't explain what the conceptual machloket is. He hints at it. But I would say that, right, what he says is the machloket he seems to be is everyone agrees that you can do the mitzvah in a passable fashion with minimizing melacha. The machloket is whether you're allowed to do the mitzvah in the best possible way if that increases melacha. But he doesn't explain why they would dispute this. So here again, I would suggest two models. One is to say they're arguing hutra dechuya, meaning, do you think that when we say you're allowed to do melacha to prepare the Omer on Shabbat, that means that there's no isser whatsoever, and therefore you're allowed to do whatever you need to make the mitzvah the best? It doesn't matter how much melacha it violates. Or do you say dechuya, meaning really it's asur, but you're allowed to violate the isur. But once you say you're allowed to violate the isur, you have to do it in the minimal way possible. That's possibility one. Another possibility would be to say that maybe it's like this. Everyone agrees that to be mekayim the mitzvah, you can do whatever you need to do. Their question is how integrated is this notion of doing the mitzvah in the best possible way integrated into the mitzvah itself? Meaning, do you say that, look, there's doing the mitzvah regularly, and Shabbat is pushed away for that, and then there's a nice thing to do, which is external, which is to do it in the best possible way. But that's not really part of the mitzvah. That's not really part of the mitzvah. It doesn't push away Shabbat. Or do you say that doing the mitzvah and doing it in the best possible way is all one and the same, and therefore if it's mutter to push aside Shabbat, to bring the Omer, then it's mutter to push aside Shabbat, to do it in the best way? So those are two ways that I think you could still say it. So look, we're going to see more of this in the Gemara, but let's just try to outline the main positions, okay? So look at this Sfat Emet, go down four lines. V'sfira le'le Gemara, you got it? Source 3. He says, the Gemara thinks that they can't be arguing about what good quality is. And everyone agrees that doing the mitzvah nicely pushes away Shabbat. And we'll see this more in the Gemara. And that which is above and above and above and beyond, everyone agrees you can't do that on Shabbat. Therefore, Rava said, "Diplugtayu kevan shen yachal asoto muvchar rak al yedei harkada harbe imkein yesh bazeh gamkin chil Shabbat rak shev malacha achat." And therefore, Rava said the machloket is about the benefit of only doing the same malacha over and over. Bazet pligi Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shmuel b'chachamim. Dilachachamim afilu tosevet hidur b'chiyai gavna doche kev nimishu pachot lo yiyeh mudar rak al yidei tosefet melachet harikud. Mutav lasot gamze hidur afilu nem lochar harbeg. Rabbi Yishmael Zirulei Lamayit Baharbein Melachot Adiv Kevin Shen Rak Tosefet Hidur. He said the machloket is as follows. For this, not just doing the mitzvah, not just doing it beautifully, but doing it in the most beautiful way, the Chachamim say that even that is integrated in the mitzvah, and therefore it's included in the pushing away of Shabbat, and therefore do whatever you need to do. No limitations. And the Rabbi Shmuel holds that, look, once you get not just into doing the mitzvah, and not even just doing it in a nice way, but doing it in the best of the best of the best of the best possible way, that's already above and beyond the definition of mitzvah. And therefore, it might be still be permitted, but the issur isn't, the issur exists and has to be minimized. Right? So that's what he thinks, right? He thinks that the machlokes is about, not about doing the mitzvah, not about doing nicely, but doing it in the best possible way. Is that fully integrated into the mitzvah such that you don't even have to worry about Shabbat just like you don't have to worry about it for the mitzvah itself? Or at that point, do you think that it is you actually have to worry about it? That's how the Sfat Ahmed understands it. One more possibility, the Mikdash David, and we'll stop for today. The Mikdash David in number 4, in Simen Chafei in Bet, says as follows. He's asking a different question, right? He says, why is it that when you, right, in general, you're allowed to bring korbanot on Shabbat, right? You bring the korban tamid, you bring the musaf, right? Any Shabbat, korban that's supposed to be on Shabbat, you can bring it. So he says, so people ask, why is it that when you bring a korban Shabbat, we don't try to minimize the amount of malacha you do? Because there's a halacha on Shabbat that any malacha that a could be done by a single person. If it's done by two people, you're not chayav. It's not as bad. Okay? So let's say you can easily carry your keys on Shabbat by yourself. If you and somebody else hold your keys together and carry in Rashut HaRabim, you're not chayav, because now you're doing it in a different way. It's called Shnayim Sha'asuhu. Right? You're doing it two people, a malacha that only really need one.
Well, now you also have those special belts. Have you ever seen those?
Yeah, but that's because you can't carry, right? But he's saying, even if you were carrying in a place where you can't carry, if you did it with two people, since that's a weird way of doing it, it's Shnayim Shasua, it's two people doing what one person can easily do, you're patur, okay?
But it's Torah, but it doesn't absolve you from the melacha.
No, for sure. But he says as follows. He says, okay, so why, when you're bringing a korban on Shabbat, don't we tell you you have to bring the korban on Shabbat? But why do you let one person shecht it? Why do you have two people hold the knife? And then you'll still get to shecht the korban, but you'll do it in a lesser way, and not a mutter way. But since you're already allowed to bring the korban on Shabbat, you might as well minimize the stringency of the melacha you're doing. He says, "V'nei makshim ha'olam b'shechitat ha'korbanot b'Shabbat." Amai ain osin al yidei shnayim. Da shnayim shayos up to rimi. Right? It's only derabanan osir. Vafilu inema. And even if you say v'shnayim shayos up gamken ainem utar legamri mido. Right? And even if you think it is biblically asur, just without punishment. Mikol makom makol panim. Amai lo avdinan lahakel ha'isur. You should at least do it because it lowers the stringency of the isur. He says, ach nir ed, is avdin tatsdikei. He says, this is the machlok, and he said, look, nobody thinks that when you're doing a mitzvah that's permitted on Shabbat, that you need to change it at all. He says, you know why? There's a machlok, because cutting the omer is not the mitzvah itself. It's the preparation to do the mitzvah. So yes, it's mutar on Shabbat, but it's two steps removed. And he says, therefore, Rabbi Elazar just feel machshir and dochen es Shabbat. Avim efshar lasot the merav Shabbat. Kortim eitzim osim pechamim. He said, even Rabbi Elazar, who says you're allowed to do preparatory things on Shabbat, like in the case of Brit Milah, he thinks you can cut the wood to make the fire, to boil the water, to do healthy, to make sure that the baby is healthy. He agrees that any preparatory step that can be done before Shabbat should be. The call chef Charles Shinui ain't the machshirav. Abe gufa akrava. Aval gav the Charles Shinui. When the Zodu Bishnar Lavdin Tatzegei Kevan Dehutra. He says, if it were the mitzvah itself, bringing a karban, everyone agrees hutra. But what he implies is that the machloket is the mitzvah itself, the bringing of the arban, the omer, you do totally normally because that's completely mutar on Shabbat. But the preparatory steps, the machloket is that also hutra? Meaning, is Shabbat is completely erased, even for the preparatory steps of the Omer, in which case you don't have to change it at all? Or do you say that the preparatory steps might be mutar on Shabbat, but they're dechuya, meaning the Isser exists, but you're allowed to violate it, in which case you'd have to minimize the Isser? So what we've seen is... Yeah.
Even if it's prep, you can do the prep for
the Omer, yeah, meaning the cutting the Omer is preparatory. But he says the machlok it is whether the preparation is also hutra, meaning completely mutar, or is that mutar but in a minimized way. Now, you could go one other way, which is to say maybe what they're arguing about is the cutting of the Omer part of the mitzvah itself, in which case you don't have to worry about Shabbat at all? Or is the cutting of the Omer considered only preparatory? And therefore, you'd have to minimize it. That's another way of looking at this machloka. So what we've seen is like four or five different models to explain the machloka to Bishmal Nechachamim, right? One is they're arguing about Mitziyut, which is unlikely. One is that they're only arguing because this is a preparatory step, and either they're arguing about exactly that, meaning is cutting the Omer merely preparatory or part of the mitzvah itself, or they're arguing about whether even preparations are hutra or dechuya, or they're arguing about whether, the way the Sfaremet puts it, is the best of the best of the best of the best, is that integrated into the mitzvah such that it's mutar and Shabbat completely or not? And again, these are different variations on the machloket of Ishmael and the Chachamim. Okay? Good? Okay, that's what we're going to stop with today, is that machloket, Rabbi Ishmael and the Chachamim, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Clear?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, good luck with lunch. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah.